Welcome to the sermon podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jonathan Meixel.
Thank you, choir, for leading us today. And thank you all for your prayers over the last week or so. Many of you know I had the privilege of representing you in Lebanon last week in working with World Vision and seeing the things that God is doing in that part of the world and doing amazing things, particularly for Syrian refugees. As part of that opportunity, we went into the home of one family, one refugee family, and as they began to tell us a little bit of their story, we learned that while still in Syria, they learned that their elementary age son was diagnosed with cancer. And that would be a difficult diagnosis anywhere in the world. But when you're living in a war-torn country where to go and receive help for your child is difficult at best, they faced a very, very tough decision. Either stay there and try to find care for their son, or make their way to Lebanon where they had some family and some hope that things might be a little bit different, a little bit better. And they finally decided to make this second decision. They left Syria, made their way to Lebanon, where the father of the family began to put to work his training and his craft as a photographer. And he got a job taking pictures and doing things in that field. But as you might imagine, with the great influx of people into Lebanon, it soon became difficult for him to maintain that job because there were others who would come who undercut the value and the cost and the wage that he was receiving. And so after a short period of time, his only means of supporting his family went away. He looked for another job and finally was able to find it in construction. But after only a couple of days on the construction job, he slipped and fell. And there wasn't workers' comp insurance there. And when his leg was broken and he was forced out of work for 6 months, you can imagine what began to happen to that family. They soon lost their place of living and soon found themselves under a bridge there in one of the most densely populated parts of the Middle East. Simultaneous to that, though, down the street, there was a church that began to recognize that there were needs in their community that they had the opportunity to reach and to meet. They began to set up programs and ministries, particularly to children of these Syrian refugee families. And one of the families that they reached out to was this family that was living under the bridge. After a period of time, the children of this family became a part of that program. And when the pastor and the other leaders of that church realized what the living condition of this family was, they began to search for and found for them another place for them to live. It wasn't a great mansion, but it was a roof over their heads, and it was a place for them to survive. When our group arrived there, there were smiles in that group, even though they were still living in difficult circumstances. The son who had been diagnosed with cancer was doing much, much better and was living a healthy life. And the family had recognized that in their moment of difficulty, in their time of turmoil, and in their time of trouble, as they said to us, we didn't know where to turn, but the church reached out to us and made a difference. This is a Muslim family, a family that grew up in a part of the world that we often look at and say, how is it possible to shed the light of Jesus Christ in that place? And yet there was a church in Beirut, Lebanon, who recognized the need of the people around them and bore that need upon themselves. Do you know where the funding came for that program that church was running? It came from an organization called World Vision, an organization that many of us have had opportunity over the last couple of years to participate with through our Race for Refugees. So you see, not only did that local church look for the needs around them, but many of us in this room have recognized the need that was there, gave of ourselves, of our time, and of our money. And in the process, there was a family in Beirut, Lebanon, who knew that God loved them, knew that Jesus Christ was the hope of the world, and began to see that there was a new way, a new hope for them and for their families. It's a remarkable story, and it's only one of many. When the church is the church, and recognizes the needs around us, both in our midst and even just outside of our midst, when we recognize that and we bear that together, when we receive that together and receive the resources that God has entrusted to us and share those with others in need and receive of those resources when we are in times of need, it's at those points that the church is operating as God created it to be. As the church comes together in an imperfect world where nobody's perfect in ourselves, we come together and express love in tangible and real ways. This morning, as we continue our series of looking at the church and looking at how the church operates and looking at how we are called to interact with one another, we're going to read a passage in which Jesus speaks about the importance of caring for one another, or in a different kind of language, of bearing one another's burdens. And as we are, we're encouraged to recognize the people right around us who we are invited to share that love and that difference of Christ. I'm going to read this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning to read with verse 31. Matthew 25, beginning with 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty and did not care for you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. As I mentioned a moment ago, we have been examining throughout this fall the ways that we are called by God to live together, to be one another. While nobody's perfect coming into the church, God brings us together in this time and in this place to be the body of Christ, to make a difference in Paoli and in our surrounding community and truly around the world. God's call on us as part of that is to bear with one another, to bear with one another, to recognize the needs that are around us, to see them, to understand them, and then to give of ourselves as we have received these gracious gifts from God. The passage that we read here this morning points us to a time in the future when an ultimate differentiation is made about those who will spend eternity with God and those who will spend eternity away from God. We understand from other portions of Scripture and places where Jesus makes this very clear that it is by faith in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ that we find hope and forgiveness. It is by faith in Jesus Christ that that God invites us into his eternal family. As that famous verse, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." When Jesus talks here in this passage about the acts of responding to this opportunity that God has given to us, he's not describing for us the means directly of coming into relationship with God. That comes through faith. But it's as we have faith in God that God begins to transform us, to change us from the inside out. Change us in such a way that we have eyes to see those needs that are around us, that we have a willingness and a heart to take that message of forgiveness, to take that message of a cup of cold water in Jesus' name to the people that are right around us. That's what Jesus is talking about here in this passage. You see, these people were so changed and so transformed that they didn't even recognize the good that they were doing. It was coming out of their heart, out of who they were, having been changed by God. God invites us today to receive the forgiveness and the hope that only He can offer. And having received that gift, He begins to change us from the inside out, to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and to recognize those needs around us so that we can bear with one another, so that we can recognize those needs, and so that we can be the hands and feet of God in those circumstances. Now, I probably haven't said a lot this morning that you would find earth-shattering. Many of us would agree that we are called to express the love of Christ in tangible ways in our communities and around the world. But Jesus goes on in this passage to describe in two very distinct ways how it is that we live this out in very tangible and real ways. He talks about it first in response to the physical needs of people around us. And secondly, he talks about it in response to the emotional or the relational needs that are around us. And this morning, in the moments that we have together, I want for us to take a moment to reflect on that, to recognize the ways in which God is opening up our eyes, opening up our ears to see those needs, and the ways that God is inviting us and encouraging us to take steps to respond in kindness and in love. This passage gives us a few key ways of tangibly responding to the physical needs of people around us. We see this description as Jesus goes through and talks about the basic necessities like food and water and clothing, that all these things are necessary and needed. And that's one of those statements that we can easily affirm and easily agree with. But when we begin to look around, we can think, well, certainly issues of food are not a problem when you live in Chester County, Pennsylvania. Certainly there are not people around us close by that go hungry or have a hard time putting food on their table. And yet we know from the Chester County Food Bank, something that, an organization that we as a church partner with, that there is a large percentage of people in Chester County, Pennsylvania, even in Chester County, Pennsylvania, who have questions and are not sure of the food that's going to be on their table today. The percentages that the food bank quotes are that 7.1% of the population of Chester County, Pennsylvania, lives below the poverty line. That accounts for about 35,000 people. 35,000 people right here in our county. And in addition to that, there are others, because of the cost of living here, that would find themselves having a difficult time placing food on their table. That's why we have a food bank here in our church, why many of you participate by giving of financial resources, by giving of food, by giving of your time, and we'll be there this week in giving out food for Thanksgiving, because there's a real need around us. And we are encouraged as followers of Christ to bear one another's burdens, to recognize that while it may be easy for many of us to go to the cupboard and find plenty of food, there are people around us who have a much more difficult time. As we see that, as we recognize the call of God, there's an opportunity to express the love of Christ. Jesus goes on and talks about the fact that when he was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And while we may eventually recognize that there's food issues around us, water's a little bit harder for us to see the real need. I mean, as much rain as we've gotten this year, surely there is plenty of water around us. And because of improved sanitation techniques and because of the way that things are in our country, that is predominantly true. Most people do have access to water. But that's not the case in other parts of the world. In fact, there are large parts of the world where even if there is water, it's not sanitized water. It's not water that will be drinkable and able to be consumed without experiencing extreme sickness and illness. It's one of the things that your support of World Vision is also doing in Lebanon with the Syrian refugees that are there. There's a percentage of them that are out in rural areas, areas where they're receiving some shelter from the UN, but where there's the distinct possibility that contamination can occur of their water. So World Vision goes into places like that, and they help to build latrines. They help to bus in water, truck in water as necessary, and they work to bus out and truck out waste as necessary. Again, there's a need around the world for something like clean water, that it's easy for us in this part of the world to take not seriously. But God is at work, and God is inviting us to have eyes to see, to have ears to hear the needs that are around us. You all are making that difference. The work that you've been doing and the work that you continue to do in these ministries is making a difference to extend the love of Christ, to carry the burden of one another. Physical needs are a big part of what Jesus talks about in this passage. But it's not just physical needs that are outlined in this passage. He also talks about people who are in relational or emotional difficulty and distress. And he begins that by talking about care of strangers. He says, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me." We've all been strangers from time to time. We've all walked into that gathering or that meeting, or maybe even walked into a church where we felt like we didn't quite belong, where we didn't quite know where to sit or what to do. We all understand what that's like. Jesus is inviting us here in this passage to have eyes to see and ears to hear, to recognize that need that's around us, and to take that opportunity to reach out in love, to participate in activities and actions that welcome the stranger who's among us. I saw a listing on Facebook the other day that came from Messiah College, my alma mater, that talked about a visiting musician who was coming to their campus this past Thursday. And as all of you know, this past Thursday was not a particularly good day to travel anywhere, much less to be coming into the area from some distance. But he flew into Harrisburg Airport, rented a car, and made his way toward Messiah College. When he got about a mile away from the campus, he needed to go up a pretty steep hill. And as he got about halfway up that hill, he realized there was no way he was getting to the top. And so he slowly backed his car back to the bottom and pulled into the nearest parking lot that he could find. As it turned out, that parking lot was the parking lot for a church. And that church just happened to be having a memorial service for a longtime member of that congregation. As he made his way inside, he realized that the service was ending and that the people were doing what often happens after a memorial service for a longtime member of a congregation. They were heading to lunch in the fellowship hall. Seeing his predicament, they invited him to join them for lunch. And he recounted how he spent the next couple of hours learning about this person who had been a longtime member of the church, being received into their gathering and being receiving kindness and acts of love. In fact, at the end of the time, a couple in that church who had a four-wheel drive vehicle offered to take him the rest of the way up that hill and even offered to come back the next day and help him to pick up his rental car and get it back to Messiah College. Seems like a rather simple thing, right? But there was a group of people who had eyes to see, ears to hear, to recognize that there was a need, and even in just a simple way of extending to this stranger an opportunity to join in another meal, that they had the opportunity to extend and express the love of Christ. Where are those opportunities in your life and in mine? Where do we see that person that just needs a quick hello and an opportunity to share a little bit about themselves, or to participate in helping them in some other similar kind of way? Jesus reminds us that there are strangers among us, and that as we see them and recognize them, as we extend welcome, we do so to Jesus himself. Well, not only were they strangers that were highlighted in this passage, but Jesus also highlights some of the other vulnerable, the sick and the imprisoned. We all have been sick from time to time, and whether it's something as simple as a common cold or some more significant disease than that, we know that when you're sick, it's really easy to feel alone. When you're sick, it's really easy to feel separated from people around you. When you're sick, it's easy to feel like the world is crashing down around you. It's, again, to have eyes to see, to have ears to hear, to recognize those in our midst, those in our neighborhoods, those in our community who are going through these difficult times. And it doesn't have to be an extensive response to their need. It can be as simple as taking them to a doctor's appointment or taking them a meal or sending them a note of encouragement or praying for them and letting them know that you're thinking of them at that time. Jesus says to us today, when you extend that hand to those who are imprisoned, those who are sick, those who are in need all around you, you're doing so to God Himself. This morning, we have been blessed. We've been blessed in many, many ways. And we have recognized the needs of people around us, near and far. And we have done some incredible things to bear the burdens of one another, locally and far. Jesus reminds us today that when we do so in the name of God. We do so extending that love to God through Jesus Christ. And he also reminds us that every day of our lives is an opportunity as God gives us direction, as God gives us guidance, to see those needs, to recognize the opportunity to extend a hand in God's name, and in doing so, to express the love of Christ. We as a church have a way that we do this on a regular basis, where we come together supporting and encouraging one another for our time of praying and laying on of hands. And in just a moment, I would invite our pastors and elders to come, and we are here to pray, to support one another, to bear one another's burdens. And as we do, we recognize that we are an extension of the hands and feet of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we have an opportunity to live that out in very real and tangible ways. So Lord God, we thank you today for your love for us, for extending that means of forgiveness. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are invited by you to bear with one another, to share life together, and in so doing, to express the beauty and the love that come from you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.